altar call to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. The sea satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
Good afternoon. We have two announcements today. Parents, please pick up the Young Foundation sermon quizzes downstairs. The sermons to listen to with your children for the month of November are He That Is In You and Look Away to Jesus. And also, remember Zach and Anna Dale's baby shower. It's going to be on November 9th from 2 to 4 at Sister Lisa's house. And they're registered at Target. Today we have, please pray for Thomas's hand, foot, and shoulder. Just make sure he's doing well. Please pray for Sister Angie Brown's home as they're traveling. Just keep it under protection. And also, please pray for Brother Dick. He's having shots in his back tomorrow for pain. So just remember him in your prayers. We all have unspoken prayer requests, so let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for fellowship. Thank you for all of us being able to gather here to worship in your name. Please protect Sister Angie Brown's house from any dangers, any threats that may pose it while they're away, Lord. Please help Brother Dick with whatever problems, whatever pains come his way, and just let everything be well. And please just help Thomas to grow strong and healthy and keep all things well. We put all things in you, Lord, and we thank you for all things. In the precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's have Brother Luke and Brother Jonas come up to take offering.
God, thank you. God bless this offering. Use it for our good, and bless those who give. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, no, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, the sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, no, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. By His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church.
Sister Anna, Sister Rachel's class, come up. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, no, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works, I'm in this church. Be denied on page 663.
When pangs of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried, till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Jesus came and He made me whole. I would not.
incense said my Lord was gone and would not hear my prayer. But praise the Lord, the work is done, and Christ the Lord is here.
Come up for their special. Or boys' Sunday school class. But Monica's Monica's.
Water, you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome and power, our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against?
go to number 381. This world is not my home.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus many years ago. I know he'll see me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friends like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Amen. Let's have a Brother Boyd Sunday School class come up for their special. Let's turn to order the services by the way it comes out.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Lord, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up.
Good job, man. Appreciate you. Good job.
Glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Good to be here. Good to have all the brethren and sisters and Sister Sarah with us today. Terrence's favorite brother-in-law, Richard. Yeah. Hey, buddy. That's my own? I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Good to be here.
Amen.
Amen. Good to have all these smiling faces. Good to have our brother Nary and his wife Abigail. And I don't know what the baby's name is, but the little girl, but thank you. They're from Chile. We had some Chile for lunch today. Luis, are you interpreting that? Okay. Open that door in case you need to stop me. But good to have them with us today. He is going to a wonderful school, University of Georgia. And they're going to teach him how to move to Texas. I don't like that. But keep him here. But good to have him with us. They're believers. And Luis is going to be interpreting in the room there with the hookup for him. So God bless you.
Amen.
Glad to have you with us. It's always good to see fresh faces. And Brother Russ is, he's not a fresh face by no means. And take that any way you want to. But good to have him with us. He is from Minnesota. And, we have to talk. I'm telling you, when he watches our sermons, he watches them in double time. You know, you can hit the 2X and it'll start. But he says we're actually speaking the way they speak when he puts it on 2 times because we're so slow. Till it speeds it up and it makes them talk like them. It's free to them Yankee people. I don't know how they won the war. I have no clue. I have no clue how they won the war. Hey. But anyway, good to have him with us today. If you got your Bibles, we know where we're going. We're going to Daniel 9, and I'm going to go ahead and get the board out. Brother Danny's done lost his post up here. Something about a grandbaby or something, so I don't know what in the world's going on. Grief and grandchildren, heavenly days. Yeah, please. But I'm going to make some announcements too. Now, the announcements that we make are also, Brother Joe puts them up on the website. So if you ever have a problem, look on the calendar on our website and you'll see, what's going on. And we've got now, we're in November. Good grief. We got November and December, so let's go run through it real quick. If you want to write it down, if you don't, just look on the website. All right, next Sunday I'm going to be gone. I'll be in Illinois doing some deer hunting. So, and then I'm leaving Wednesday. Sorry, Aaron's going to preach for you Wednesday night, but I got to leave Wednesday after I get finished work. On November the 17th, we're having our dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, one service, and then we'll get with all the others about what to bring. So, November the 24th, Brother Chris Long will be with us. That is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, because Dad and I are leaving on the 19th and be gone to the 24th. That's the week of gun season in Illinois, so that's where we're going to be. And he'll have some of the brothers here preach on Wednesday. You okay, Louise? Is it good?
One of them is
okay. All right, so then on December the 8th, Brother Jewel Forney will be here. On December the 15th will be our Christmas dinner, and Brother Mike Altig will be here that Sunday to preach for us. That'll be a special treat. He hadn't been here in a long time. December the 31st, Chris Long will be here to do our Watch Night service, and that will be on the 31st of December. So just kind of give you that for the rest of the year going up. I went and posted it back there on the calendar on the wall. And Brother Joe's going to put it on our website. So that's kind of what's going on for the next month or so. So let's begin and try to maybe, I'm not going to finish it today, because what I want to do is I want to finish the chart of the three periods. This will be three periods part two. But what I'm going to do is the next time we preach, which is going to be in somewhere in November or December, because I just read you all the other ones. Maybe it's November the something. I want to take and the contention in the message and the people are, is there's two schools of thought, whether there's 1 year left after the rapture or 3.5 years. And they take it by quotes because we have been here long enough to know I read you the Bible. There's 1 week left after the rapture, so there's no, I don't need a quote for that, I just need Bible. But you gotta make the quote match the Bible. And we can make the quote match the Bible if you listen to what Brother Branham's saying. He didn't change his doctrine at all. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Alright? So there is no contention in this church, but there is contention in other people. And this is like Brother Brown said one day, he said, I'm not here to bring a new doctrine. He said, I'm here to straighten out the doctrine. All right. Straighten out a doctrine that has been contested many times in ministers' meetings and back even when Brother Dale was going to ministers' meetings up until just a few years ago. So we're going to go through though and prove it by the Bible. I believe we have, but today we're going to go through the three periods according to scripture and place it in the Word of God. And then the last thing I'll do is, a couple of Sundays from now, I'll bring the quotes that seem to be contrary, and the quotes that I'm going to read to you today. Is that okay? Because that's what it's, there is some quotes from the prophet of God that seems like he's saying two different things, but he's not. He cannot, listen, one more time, he cannot say what the Bible doesn't say. He can't make his own Bible. We can't make our own Bible. God forbid. We know he was a word prophet, so everything what he said had to fit in the Word of God. All right, so because remember, as I've been reading to you, faith's final resting place is where? In the Word of God. All right? So faith's final resting place is in the Word of God. So may the Lord help us today, and let's bow our heads and ask. You okay now, Louis? We good? Okay. Stop me if I get too fast. Okay. All right, Daniel 9:24. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you today for a time, Lord, that we've set aside that we can talk about you just a little while. We know the cares of life and the things of the world are bombarding us on every hand. We don't have time hardly for anything. But Lord, at least this one time we can sit here and we can hear from you, Lord, and strengthen our bodies, Lord, and keep us strong, Lord, and keep us tentative where we can hear from you, Father. May it not that they hear from Brother Wade today, Lord. May they hear from you, Father. May they hear you, Lord. Speak your word back to them. And Lord, then you'll be the one to do the speaking. It won't be wrong. You're the one to be the revealing, which it'll never be wrong if it comes from you. Father, we pray that you'd be with the ones that are not here today, Lord, the ones on the highways, the ones that are sick, the ones that are sin sick, Lord. We pray that you'd just touch them now, Lord. Many people in this congregation, Lord, got loved ones and husbands, wives, daughters, sons that are not serving you, Lord. We pray today that you'll touch their heart, Lord. It's getting to be a time, Lord, where we truly don't need to be playing around, Lord. We need to be earnestly praying for the ones, Lord, that we want to come in, Father. We pray that you'd bless Brother Russ, Lord, as he goes back home tomorrow, that you'll take care of him. Give him strength, Lord. Give us all, Lord, today our daily bread. And we're coming to a communion time today, Lord. We pray that you would sanctify us, Lord. Cleanse us and keep us, Lord, clean, Father, as we were talking yesterday. There's a daily cleansing, Lord. Today, wash us by the water of the word so that we can take this communion, Lord, and truly be a communion, a love affair between us and you, Lord. We pray that you'd be with us now. Sanctify us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Daniel 9:24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now, who is that? Israel or the Jews. And upon thy holy city, which is Jerusalem, to do 6 things, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision in prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore, now look, know therefore. So he's saying, you gotta know this. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince, which is who? Jesus Christ, shall be 7 weeks, that's one period, and 62 weeks, that's the second period. The street shall be built again, the wall even in troublous times, and we're going to read that in the scripture today out of Nehemiah. And after, see that word? After. I'm going to show you how close that is, and the prophet brings it right straight down. And after 62 weeks. Shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Who was he cut off for? Us. And the people of the prince that shall come, now who is that? Titus, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, because in AD 70, Titus rode into Jerusalem and destroyed the city and took all the menorah and he took the holiest of holies and all the different things. Took them back to what? Rome, because he was a Roman general. And that's where you're going to get the building of the sanctuary here a little bit later, the physical one. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and to the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm, who's that he? That's not Christ, because he's going to break the covenant, and Christ doesn't break a covenant. That's the Antichrist. And he shall make a covenant with many for 1 week. That's your third period. And in the midst of the week, what's in the middle of 7? 3.5. He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing to the reading of the word. I'm going to read you a few quotes if you'll pull up. We're going to read probably 1 and 2, and in the book of Revelations, we're going to go into the Bible here. But our first quote is from Brother Branham, a sixfold purpose. It's 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. For what purpose? For what? Whose people was it determined upon? Now remember, it's not to us, Gentiles. But I do want to show you one thing, that the way God does things, he does it in continuity. And we're going to be able to see that he can't do anything different than what he's already said in his word. He can't change it. He can't even modify it. It's ever unchangeable. Alright, so who is it to? Daniel's people, the Jews. And what was it determined for? Upon not only Daniel, but upon Daniel's holy city. Like I said before, that's your key. There's 2 things got to be restored. Because what are we talking about in Daniel's 70 weeks? We're talking about redemption.
Right.
Our restoration to restore all things back to its rightful position. So Daniel's holy city. Now class, what was Daniel's holy city? Jerusalem. All right. Now let's go to quote number 2. We've read these before. Just want to kind of help our ones that haven't been here. These 70 weeks of Daniel, just read the red. So these 70 weeks of Daniel covers from the going up of the church until the coming back of the church. And that space is what it covers. Now not all 70 weeks of Daniel, part of it. He's talking about the sixfold purpose. Now listen, remember, We leave this place, according to Revelation 4, we go in a rapture. Amen. Revelation 4:1. John is sees an open door and says, there's a voice that says, come up hither. So in Revelation 4:1, we go in a rapture. That's after the church ages are over. We go in a rapture. Right. Amen. Amen? And we're not seen again until Revelation 19:21, right, when we, the wife has made herself ready, us and Christ ride back into this millennium. Right. Amen? Yes. All right? So what goes on right here is to the Jews. Right. Now what back here is has to set it up to where you come to this last week that we're going to talk about in just a second. All right? We'll take the first period and walk our way through it and make sure everything's okay. Now look, watch. And 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now remember, that is all that the journey of the Israelites will have in this earth. They are determined. 70 weeks is just determined. That's all that's allotted to the Jews. Therefore, these 70 weeks, now don't miss it, it will reveal from that time to the end of the Jews and also to the end of Jerusalem. All right? What is the end of Jerusalem? The Battle of Armageddon is going to destroy everything, so that would be the end of Jerusalem. Has everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. All right? Until, he says, a new city is built, and that will be the city in the millennium, according to Ezekiel 40 through 44. Do you need these quotes? You're okay? You can see them? Okay. Okay. Because don't let me get too fast. So now let's go to Revelations, and let's see how this is going to happen. The culmination is what we're looking at, but then we're going to back up and go all the way back in the history. I read some commentators online this week, and of course they've got the same school of thought that a lot of people in the messages got. They've got one school of thought that Jesus fulfilled 3.5 of the seven of the last week. He fulfilled it when he was on the earth, and there's only 3.5 years left. What they've done is they put this section back over here. All right, you can't do that. You can't do that and be right. You can't do that. You can't save the Jews over here. The Jews get saved when we leave. Amen? That's just, to me, that's just plain Bible. All right, so Revelation 11, verse 1. There was given unto me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Everybody got that? That's what the Bible says. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. Now who is that according to the Bible? Who is that? Moses and Elijah. The spirit of Moses and the spirit of Elijah on two Jews that are going to be the two witnesses, and they're going to prophesy 1,260 days. So 1,260 days is the time that they're going to preach. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right? That's the time they're going to preach. And they are going to preach not here. They're going to preach right here. And if you got your chart, this is the chart that Brother Branham drew. During the Daniel 70-week series, like I said, we asked George Smith, which married Sister Rebecca, and Rebecca's the one that drew this. He said, yes, that is the exact thing she drew for Brother Branham during the time of the 70 weeks of Daniel. So if anybody doesn't have one, you want one. Anybody want one? Anybody else wants one, just let me know. All right? But that's the same drawing we got here. I just want you to think I'm not drawing this chart for my purpose. I'm doing it exactly the way Brother Branham had it when he drew it and preached the three series of the 70 weeks of Daniel. So what's going to happen is they're going to prophesy 1,260 days, which is what? Exactly 3.5 years according to the Jewish or the prophetic calendar of 360 days to a year, not 365 and a quarter. Okay, we're going back to the prophetic calendar of 360 days to the year. Right. All right, we know that according to the Bible, we look over in Genesis 29, I believe it is, where Jacob worked 7 years for Leah and 7 years for Rachel. And then the Bible says he fulfilled her week. So 1 week equals 7 years. All right, there's 70 weeks of Daniel times 7 years. We are looking for a total of 490 years to fulfill the 70 weeks of Daniel. Because the Bible says 70 weeks are determined. I read you the Bible. So we got to find 70 weeks or 490 years, which is 70 times 7. Even the brother from the University of Georgia should know that. You went to Georgia Tech, you might not. We have to go a little, or Florida. We'd have to go a little bit slower. But that's 400. We got to find 490 years. Because 490 years finishes what? Look what I drew. From the time on your chart to where this thing begins to where this thing ends, it's got to be 490 years. Now you got to take out the engrafting of the Gentile tree. All right? You got to take that out because they cut him off. He turned to the Gentiles through Paul and Peter and all those different ones. And this is a Gentile church age. This has nothing to do with the 490 years. It's inserted in here because God took and divorced Israel. Can't marry her anymore, so he marries a bride. But he can't forget Israel. He's going to take her as servants. The 144,000 are not going to be in the millennium as bride. They will be in the millennium as being servants to the bride. In the temple, you're going to see in a little while, they build the temple. We don't build temples. We're there on a honeymoon. Why in the world would you want to? I mean, June and I have been married 40 years. We may not have if I'd have had her start building a house today after we went on our honeymoon. Vacation time, rest. We've come to our rest right here. When we take a rapture, we've entered our rest. Actually, you've entered it now. You just got, your body's got to catch up to it. Amen? But now what's got to be redeemed? Now watch. What's got to be redeemed for you and I? Brother Dale's talking about the whole creation groaneth and travaileth, what? For the manifestation of the sons of God. To where, as Brother Dale said in the adoption series where Brother Brown, I think it was, where he said, it takes us back to the Garden of Eden. Well, now this is not, heavens forbid, this is not the Garden of Eden. This is the Garden of the Devil. This is Satan's Eden. But what's it going to be? By the transforming power that God transforms you and I and changes our body in this dimension, he's going to take us out of here, destroy a lot of things during the tribulation, and then the Battle of Armageddon destroys everything. What's it going to do? It's going to bring us back to an Eden condition in the millennium. All right? So you and I, but really our time is no longer right here. And truly, when you get born again, Brother Brown said, we are sitting in heavenly places right now. In your soul, you're right here. Because you're eternal. You have no time. We have no set 490 years and this and that. When Christ came and put one foot on land, 1 foot on sea, and he raised his hand, he said, time shall be no longer. Now we look in the book of Daniel about Daniel 10, 11, or 12, maybe 12, I think it is. You see one foot on the land and one on the sea. He raised his hand. He said it's for a time, times, and a dividing of times. So it would be for 3.5 years to restore Israel the people. But you got to remember the city also, because it's determined upon thy people and the holy city. God promised them a city. All right. Our city, like I said before, our city is way 1,000 and some odd years over here. The future home is our city. The millennial temple is not our city. The millennium is not our time, because it's time. We're not in time. We're eternal people. Walk right back into time just like we left the place. Only everything's going to be cleared off. All right? And we're going to be there with 144,000 fifth seal Jew, ever how you want to put that in there. But it's going to be 1,000 years till we get to our home over here. And that future home is in you. According to Revelations, John saw the bride or the city coming down onto the mountain as a bride adorned for a husband. What was it? All the bride. All the bride coming down. Because remember, like I've always said, when you read the paper and it says Minneapolis, all of Minneapolis came out for this parade. Well, all the buildings didn't hop out to the end of the street. It was the people. The people of Minnesota. The whole city of Minnesota came out. Minnesota came out to see the parade. Well, you would think, man, all the buildings. No, it's not the buildings. It's the people. It's the people. So you and I, we're the people of the city. We are the city. You can't separate them. Okay, well, now let's get to them, because you're going to do the same thing with the Jews. I'm going to bring you a little something that the Lord showed me yesterday that helped me out a lot even more. So now the two witnesses are going to prophesy. Now they, listen, let's deduct. This thing keeps moving. When do the two witnesses show up? Not when we're here. Right? So it's got to be, if we're going to take rapture, it's got to be over here somewhere. They didn't show up here to do 1260 days. They're going to show up over here somewhere. Because the two witnesses are to the Jews only, not to us. Everybody all right with that? Say amen. All right? So they got to show up over here. So the 1260 days has got to happen after the rapture. But we've got some other things to take care of. We've got the three periods. Now what's going to happen is when the two witnesses come on earth, they're going to preach. They're going to open the seals. They are the sixth seal, the prophet of God said. They, what? They speak in nature. Does exactly what they tell it to do. What? It's getting ready for us to come back, because you know what? We got into speaking condition right here. Amen? We got into speaking condition here because you're going to have to speak your body change. Amen? Amen? So you got to come in speaking condition right here. And then what comes off of us is just going to go over to the two witnesses, and they're going to come into speaking condition. All right? And they're going to what? Rain fire, do all these different things for 1260 days. Then the Bible says they will be killed in Revelation 11. They're going to be killed, lay in the streets for 3.5 days. All the world's going to see them. They're going to just fall in love with each other because they've killed these two people that have just destroyed the earth. Then what's going to happen? God's going to resurrect them and send them in a rapture. Okay? All right, when he sends them in a rapture, what's going to happen? The battle of Armageddon will begin and destroy everything on the earth by an atomic battle. It's not going to be a battle of God against, no. It's like Brother Dale says, he's looking for a battle. It's Protestants and Catholics. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be the two factions that turns against each other. And you got Israel there in the middle. And they're going to be, everybody's just going to start punching buttons, and it's going to be chaos. But we're going to be up here somewhere in another dimension. It's not going to bother us. Not going to bother the 144,000 and the two witnesses. The only thing that's going to be destroyed from here to here is going to be the land and all the evil people that are here. Everybody all right with that? Say amen. All right. So now you got that. So we looked at the sixfold purpose. That's the first thing we covered. I told you if you understand the sixfold purpose, you'd understand Daniel's 70 weeks. Because what happens with a sixfold purpose? 70 weeks are determined to do six things. Finish the transgression, make an end of sin, make reconciliation for iniquity. That's people.
Right.
Not buildings. That's people. You don't redeem buildings.
That's right.
You redeem people.
Yes.
All right? But now the other three is to bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So you can't do all six right here. There can't be 3.5 years left after the rapture. There has to be 1 week, according to the Bible, to fulfill all that we've been talking about. All right? Because what's going to happen? Let's read this one quote. Let's skip over through all. We did all this back several months ago or a month ago. Now watch. Let's read number three. The 70th week of Daniel, the prophet of God preached. This is the last in the series. He said, now the sixfold purpose. We find out that on this sixth purpose, I'm going to skip to number six because it should be right over here. All right, the sixfold purpose. We find out that most holy always represented the church. Now, who's the church? We're the church. We're the bride. Not the 144,000. We're the bride. We're the ones that went somewhere. Right? And we're coming back in Revelations 19:21 to somewhere. To the earth. Is everybody alright with that? Say amen. Alright? So now look. Always represented the church, the tabernacle. And the last thing was to be done was to anoint the most holy. That's the millennial tabernacle that he'll live in during the millennial that we'll live in. That we will live in. Because they're going to build it and we're going to live in it. Now they can't build it over here because it's going to get destroyed in the Battle of Armageddon. It's got to be built here at the end of the 70th week, and then it just rolls right over into the millennium. Everybody all right with that? I'm just reading you what Brother Branham said. All right? And according to the Bible, there's 1 week left after the rapture. All right? So let's read that. Let's look at your three periods of time like we did the other day, and then let's set them in order according to the Bible. Everybody all right? Okay. All right. Here we go. Three periods of time. Daniel 9:24 says 70 weeks are determined. Let's just read the red. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, that's when it begins right here. Right. Unto Messiah the Prince, which is Jesus Christ. There's the cross. AD 30. Watch. To build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built and the wall even in troublous times. Now let's stop right there because I'll read the rest later on. Let's go to number 4. Now let's outline Daniel 70 of weeks. Now I might repeat here again, ministers of the gospel, if you disagree with this, all right. They have been for 50 years. They are divided into 3 periods. As we find out in Daniel 9, 3 periods. First, a 7 week period right here. Look. And you look on your chart. A 7 week period. Then a 62. What's 60? 60. 30 times 2. 62 weeks. Got it? Which is 62. And then a 1 week period. They're divided in 3 different periods. Now I've got it divided here on the board. The first period, I'm sure he's pointing here. The second, he's pointing here. And to my understanding by the gospel, by the Holy Spirit, that the end time God returns again to the Jew. Everybody got that? Say amen. That's, to me, that's just pretty black and white and simple. All right. It's written in black and white and red. All right. So now let's look at number 5. Just want to make sure you know that Brother Branham said, we know now that each week meant 7 years. Have you got it? Let's say it together. One, those of you that are asleep, 1 week equals 7 years. Now we know we got it. 1 week equals 7 years. All right. Now Brother Brown looks, says here we are right here. First week, Brother Brown steps to the blackboard. 49 years to rebuild the temple. Now this top line represents the Jewish right here. The Jewish nation as it goes across just in time. This is just time. Then it drops down out of the Jewish nation into the Gentile time. This is right here. Then goes up again and catch Israel and goes on. Am I reading that right? Am I looking at it right? Am I interpreting it right? I just read you what he said. Okay. Everybody got that? Now look, let's go to number 6. And let's remember now, everything now is going to be based off of the Christian or prophetic calendar. There's only 360 days to the year. That's what it is right here. Everybody all right with that? Excuse me. 360 days, not 365 and a quarter. The spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church. That's you. By the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in and revealing what day that we're living in, just the same as Gabriel come to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days, would that be today? And reveals these great, deep, secret things. Everybody got that? Just reading quotes. All right, number 7. We'll get into this now. This is in the 70th week. Now you see that Brother Brown didn't preach the 70 weeks of Daniel. He preached the 70th week. So he's going to preach the 70th week. So there must be 1 week. Anyway, it's just really simple if you look at it and forget what you've been taught. Because if it ain't according to the Bible, it ain't right. Hello? If it's according to the Bible, whatever you believe that's contrary to that's not right. Brother Brown said either one's wrong and one's right, both can't be right. Okay? Or both can be wrong. Now we are told from the going forth of the commandment. Now watch, we're going to get started. Now here's where the trouble is, in other words, he said. Now we are told from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild the city to Messiah, and Messiah was Christ, shall be 7 weeks. Now he's fixing to start right here. So that's where we're going to start today. And 7 times 69 makes 483 years. Now we got to find 490. Right? Shake your head, yes? Some of you are already shaking your head. It's just not coming back up again. Y'all need to eat some chili peppers or something. 483 years, we found that. 62 and 7 is what? 69. 69 times 70 is what? 7 is 483 years. Everybody got that? Amen. Pretty simple. And 7 times 69 makes 483 years. Now you're getting it down. If you want me to run over it again, I'll be glad to do it. Now we are told from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild the city to Messiah shall be 7. He's quoting scripture. 7, that's the first right here. 7 times 7 is 49 years. Everybody got that? 7 weeks and 62 make 62 and 7 is 69. So right there. We're right here. Everybody got that? 7 times 69 is 483 years. Therefore, until the Messiah, now we're coming to this part here, until the Messiah, this is at Calvary right here, there's got to be 483 years. All right, let's continue with quote number 8. The message you see this morning is drawn out here on the blackboard here. It's just merely to explain as I go along, to try and make that you might understand what I'm trying to speak of. So if this is what he had on the board, this is what he used.
Right.
Okay? And this 70 weeks of Daniel has been one great study, 2 days and 2 nights almost I've been since the end of the week. Here I've been on it trying to find out what words to say for truth. Look, it's got to compare with the rest of the Bible. See, you just can't take it, just one little scripture and make an understanding, then say, well, this is what this, and then turn around and say, well, but over here it says something else. Contradicts that. It can't do that. It's got to say the same thing all the time. If you don't, why then you're wrong. And that's the way I've tried to teach it. That's the way we've tried to teach it here. Now let's read number 9. Oh, what a lesson, I said to my wife the other day. I wonder if the people are really getting it. Now I want you to get it. See, he's not wanting to make it a complete mystery. He wants you to get it.
Amen.
If you have to stay here all day long, just stay. Now we want to get it. Some of you may not want to get it. He wants to get it. He wants you to get it. We want to know that it's truth, and you, if you can just only see it, and I ask maybe, then afterwards I'm going to leave the chart hang here, and you can draw it out, and that's what Becky did. She drew it out and put it on a mimeograph paper. Come in here this afternoon, whenever you want to, and draw it out, the charts and so forth. It'll help you to understand. That's the reason I put it there, so that you would understand it. Everybody all right with that? It's your prophet telling you need to understand it, and he's going to give you a chart to understand it. All right, let's go now to Daniel 9:25. Now, we've done read Daniel 9:24. 9:25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now, what happened is back in this period of time when Daniel was in captivity, all of Jerusalem laid waste. Temple was gone. They knocked the walls down. They destroyed Jerusalem. That's why the captivity was 70 years, but it happened back over here. The literal 70 years. Everybody got that? We already went through that. All right. But we've come up to a time now to where Daniel is Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to what? Rebuild. So Jerusalem laid waste over here. So what the people, what Israel wants to do, if you'll even remember in Esther, the book of Esther, they were under the dispersal at that time. They were scattered everywhere. But they wanted to come back together. Now see how this is what the Lord was yesterday. He brought them people back together to build a temple under Nehemiah and Ezra, two prophets, to build. What's he going to do here? He's going to do the same thing. He's going to bring two prophets right here. But you know what happened? We had two prophets. Oh, Paul and Brother Branham. We had two prophets, Paul, the Alpha, and Omega. Now, it doesn't do away with these people. Brother Branham called them prophets. But remember, Luther and Wesley were not word prophets like Brother Branham and Paul were. They were reformers. Amen? But Paul was not a reformer. Paul was what? Bringing them out of Pentecost, bringing them into the new age of the Gentiles. And then Brother Branham finishes it up, the two prophets to the Gentiles. That what? Now, what happens when they come together? Because remember, Brother Branham said, I preach what Paul preached. Right? I preach what Paul preached, and I say plus. But what happened, he brings Christ on the scene. What happens to these two witnesses when they get finished with their 1260 days? They bring Christ on the scene. They bring a rapture. These two prophets brought a rapture. When Christ come on the scene, he went in a rapture. Amen? So it just kind of all, it all fits the way God brought everything together. You say, no, the Jews are different. Not exactly. Because redemption is not replacement. Redemption is taking what was that had failed and bringing it back to the same place. All right, so he's got to do the same thing with us to bring us back to the Eden-like condition. So know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince, right here, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall. This is the key. Because it took them a long time to build everything. Because what we're going to read in a minute is when Jesus was here, and he said there won't be one stone left on another, the Pharisees looked at him and said, that building was 46 years building that temple. They were correct. The walls weren't built, though. Exactly. The walls and the streets were not built. And listen, all commentary will tell you that a nation is not a nation. I mean, you know, in other words, they wanted to build a temple. Well, you could have built it out in the middle of the wilderness. No. But that wouldn't have been their city of civil government. Right. You have to have a wall for what? Defense. And you have to have the streets to what? Get around on. So to make a city, it's not just a temple. It was the temple and the walls and the streets, because that's what the Bible says. Shall be built again the wall even in troublous times. And we'll read that now in just a minute. Now let's read number 10. We okay, Luis? Okay. Now I've got some writing here that I'd like to read as we go. I want to show you. We're going to look right here and see. I always wondered how Brother Branham picked March the 14th. 445 B.C. Now, I'll show it to you in just a second. Now, the going forth of the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem, which was on the 14th day of March. That's pretty precise. You really can't find that in history. You can't find that in the Bible. But it's written in the Bible. It's written right there in the Bible. You just got to know what you're looking for. And I didn't until I actually had to read another commentary to see what it was. So, I read another commentary from somebody else. If any of you want to put that down in the Hebrew, you'll find it called N-I-S-A-N. Nisan is their first month of their year. It is March, April. It's not exactly March and exactly April. It's March, April. Russ, everybody that studies it knows that's the first month of their year. Now, it's not the first month of their civil year. Their civil calendar starts in October. We went through that downstairs. I don't have time to go through it up here. But it's on YouTube if you want to watch it. But look, you'll find, which means March. The issue was given on the 14th day of March. How do you find it the 14th day of March? I'll show you. The issue went forth to build, rebuild the temple. You understand it as you people have read the scripture then. So it must be in scripture. Until it was completed, it took 49 years to complete the temple and the city.
Right.
To rebuild it. And as the Bible said here, Daniel speaking, or the angel to Daniel, that the walls, it would be built in troublous times, troublesome times. And many of us remember when it was built, they had a mortar block in one hand and a sword in the other hand to watch for the enemy. And it would be built in troublous times. Now, let's go to Nehemiah 1. Now what happens is, if you'll read in Ezra, the book of Ezra, everybody awake?
Yes.
The book of Ezra. Ezra gets this unction to rebuild everything. But he doesn't go through with it. Bible tells you, if you read the book of Ezra, it's set dormant. What they've done is they went and started a little while and then they quit. Because Nehemiah, this is how perfect God is. If Ezra would have started it, it would have been started in like 450 something BC. Which wouldn't fit with Daniel's 70 weeks. They had to start in BC 445 to start building the temple to get all your dates right. So Ezra, if you read in Ezra, you can't start with Ezra because it won't work out. But look, let's go to Nehemiah 1. We've got it up here so you don't have to go through the Bible. Just read it right here. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hachaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, because remember, they had dispersed, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates were burned with fire. So in other words, it was laid waste. So Nehemiah, let's go to Nehemiah chapter 2. Now you can read on through. I skipped through this for some time. Nehemiah 2 verse 1. Now what happened then, who was Nehemiah? A little history here. Nehemiah was the cupbearer for King Cyrus, or whichever king it was, okay? He was the cupbearer. He was the one that gave the king wine. He was so important. He was the one that the king trusted when he brought him the wine. And he listened to what, the king listened to what Nehemiah said. Because what happens is, watch this. This is 2 verse 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, so we're in March. Okay, we're in March. You say, how'd Brother Brown get March 14th? Fixing to prove it to you right here. In the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him. Now you gotta go back into history. Wine was only presented to the king on Passover. And Passover is the 14th day after the first of the month. Yeah, bing! That was one of those Google moments. That wine, he never served him wine until that day of every year he would serve him wine. And that's where you come up with, because remember, you got to go back to the Passover. God tells him, he says, you take the lamb and put it up on the what? The 10th day of the first month. Then you keep it up for 4 days. And then on the 14th day, you kill the lamb. So Brother Branham goes right here and says, okay, this happened on March the 14th, 445 BC. Because that's what the Bible says. And he gave it to the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. So Nehemiah was sad. Why was he sad? Listen. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad? Seeing thou art not sick, this is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And so unto the king, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when my city, the place of my father's sepulcher, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? So to make a long story short, let's go to Nehemiah 4:17. In other words, the king is fixing to give him an edict or a, what he's doing is he's saying, okay, I'm giving you permission. Because what he's got to do is they're not in Jerusalem. Okay? They're not in Jerusalem at that time. They're in Shushan the palace, Artaxerxes, Medes and Persians. But Nehemiah is going to have to go to Jerusalem to build it. Well, he's got to go through all these countries that hate them. And he's got to have something in his hand that said, hey, the king told me I could come and do this. And that's what this is. They which build on the wall and they that bear burdens with those that laden, everyone with those hands wrought in the work, with the other hand held a weapon. Now what did they say in Daniel 9? That the wall shall be built even in troublous times. For the builders, everyone that had his sword on his side, and so built it. In other words, sword in one hand, trowel in another hand. And why did that happen? If you'll continue and read Nehemiah 4, 15, 17, down through there, what happened? The other kingdoms didn't want them to build back. Because they knew that they had a God. There was some history. They had a God that answered their prayer. And they had a God that said, if you'll just turn to the palace or turn to the temple, I'll hear your cry. So they, you know what? Nobody else wanted them to build it. Why do you think they're trying to kill them now? See, that same devil is right here today. Trying to disperse the Jews again. Because they know if the Jews get everything right, God's got to come to them. Same way back then in Nehemiah 4 verse 15, watch. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. What happened was all the Syrians, and I don't know what their name was then, but what happened was they tried to get in there when, at night or whatever, and they tried to tear the wall down. They build it all day and build it all day, and then here comes the enemy and tear the wall down at night. So anyway, Nehemiah said, hold on a minute. And it came to pass from that time forth, half of my servants were working and the other half held spear, shield, and bow. What happened was the army was this way looking out into the desert and the ones right here were building the wall. In troublous times. Half of my servants. That's why it took them longer. But remember, they built that wall in 52 days once they got started. What a supernatural happening. All right. It came to pass in that time that half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half both spears, shields, and all that. Go to Nehemiah 4:17. And they which builded the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that were laden, everyone with one hand wrought in the work, we read that, and the other hand held a weapon. Look at verse 21. So we labored in the work, just to save time, so we labored in the work, and half of them held a spear from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. So they built the wall in troublous times, and they built it in 49 years. From the time they started, B.C. 445, I'm not going to get into the dates. They built it in 49 years. They finished the wall in 52 days. Right. When they finished the wall, that's when they became a civil government again. All right? Everybody got that? So it's the wall. So remember, it's got to be the city and the Jews. All right, let's go to the, that's the first period. The first period of time they built the temple and the wall in 49 years. But now we got to get these 62 weeks or 434 more years. Well, it's all history. Just keep reading in your Bible. Right. Read all your history. Just keep, continue reading. Now remember, let me throw this in for just a second. As you read your Bible, it's not in chronological order. It's not in year order. Right. Everybody know that? Right. If you didn't, you do now. It's not in year order. Look, if you got a Scofield Bible, the dates jump around, but what man did when they were putting the Bible together, they're the ones that put them in these, in the order they're in now. But if you'll go online, you can get a, like a lineage from whoever, Job supposedly is the oldest book. All right. Genesis is not. Job is, but the writer. And then if you'll look, those time, you'll see how those time, Nehemiah, Ezra, Zechariah, all these different ones were inside all this and they kind of all intertwined. But if you'll read that, you'll understand more of what's going on. Right on up to, we know that Malachi was the last one and there was 400 years between Malachi, which Malachi came in here, 400 years between Malachi and Christ. Okay? just to give you a little history to show that. But look, now, does everybody understand the first period then? Nehemiah, B.C. 445, is when the edict came down, or the contract that Cyrus said, I will protect you as much as I can. You go build a city and the wall. Everybody understand that? Because you go back to the New Testament, they're going to say, we built the temple in 46 years. That's the temple, not the walls and the streets. Because it says walls and streets, even in troublous times. So they built that for 49 years. That's your first period. We're going to talk about now the second period. So let's continue on. Everybody okay? Know therefore and understand from the going forth of commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Now watch. Here's the part we're going to talk to about. And after, watch this. This is how specific that everybody thinks Brother Brown made so many mistakes. Now he did make a few slips of the tongue because he said AD 33 and he meant AD 30. And he said 438 years instead of 483 years. That's just human. We got to stay with what the Bible says. All right. Bible says that. Now watch. But now watch this. Now remember that date. Remember March 14. Everybody got that? Remember that day, March 14th, the day of the Passover. In the month of March, which now remember the first month is March, April, because it doesn't go March, cut it off, April, cut it off. Their calendar is different than ours. Everybody got that? Because Nisan is actually half of March, half of April. All right? But Brother Branham brings this date in really specific because watch what's going to happen. Because remember the Bible says, look, the Bible says after 62 weeks. All right? So you got a 7 week period. You got a 62 week period. So after 62 weeks, the Messiah is going to be cut off. Now when was he cut off? At Calvary. Is that right? Say amen. That's when he was cut off. So it says after 62 weeks. Now a lot of people interpret that is that now that after 62 weeks, that'll bring that 3.5 years in. No, that's not correct. That's not right. That's not right at all. Because inside this, watch what's going to happen. You watch how Brother Brown brings these dates in. Watch. Remember March the 14th. Everybody got that? Remember that. Because watch this next quote. Now we are told from the going forth of the commandment. This is verse number 11. Now we're told from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild the city to Messiah. And the Messiah is Christ, of course, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, making 69 weeks. Everybody got that? 62 plus 7 is 69. It says after 62 weeks, the Messiah is going to be cut off. Now, where was he cut off? At Calvary, he was cut off. Now, watch. I want you to watch how perfect this is. Now, you're getting it down. If you want me to run over it again, I'll be glad to. Now, we are told from the going forth of the commandment to rebuild the city to Messiah shall be seven. Seven, that's first right here. When he goes first, right, that's right here, seven. And 62 make 62 and 7 is 69. All right? 7 times 69 makes 483 years. Therefore, until the Messiah, now we're coming to this part here. I believe he's pointing right there. Until the Messiah, there's got to be 483 years. So there's 434 and there's 49. If you add those two together, you get 483. Everybody got that? But now watch what the Bible says. It says after 62 weeks. Now after 62 weeks only can, has got to be one day. The day after tomorrow. You got it? Okay. So now watch. Watch him bring it right here. Now Jesus the Messiah rode into the city of Jerusalem, triumph on the back of a white mule, remember, on Palm Sunday. Now what is Palm Sunday? That's the week before the resurrection. Has everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. That's the week before the resurrection. Amen. Got it? Yes. April the 2nd, AD 30. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, AD 30. The edict went forth on March the 14th. Now, April the 2nd is a week before the resurrection. So he died on Friday. Well, actually Thursday before Friday, or Friday before Saturday, right? The Passover was on Saturday. He died on Friday before 6 o'clock. We went through this. I hope maybe we'll go over it again. Remember, Jewish days start at 6 o'clock or end at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Then a new day starts. That's why they had to get Christ off the cross before 6 o'clock Friday afternoon to keep from going into Passover, which was on their Sabbath, which is on a Saturday. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right. So this is April the 2nd. So what is, you got March 14th and April the 2nd. He was crucified or cut off 4 days after that, right? Palm Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. He was cut off on April the 4th, which is after March 14th. March the 14th would have been here. April the 4th is after the 62 weeks ended, but just barely by a few days. It don't have to be, but just by a few days for it to be after 62 weeks. Because you got to go by what the Bible says. The Bible says after 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. So he was killed right here. It would be A.D. 30, April. He actually killed on April the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th. So that's after the 62 weeks was over. The 62 weeks was over. You bring this in and you bring the 49 and 434 years. You bring it right here. So after 62 weeks, he was killed. Do you remember where that is in the Bible? It's in the book of John, where Jesus rode into Jerusalem and he throwed the palm trees down and they said, Hosanna to the King. I believe that was like John 12. You'd think it would be. So you see from John 12 to the end of John when he was crucified, there was a bunch of chapters in there. There's chapter 17 where he goes and prays. Well, he's praying during that whole time from Palm Sunday till that Thursday. He was really busy. He actually preached the seals during that time. Matthew 24 was all during that time, leading up from April the 2nd till April the 6th when he died. All right, so everybody okay with that? Just wanted to say, after 62 weeks, the Messiah was cut off. Now watch. Let's read number 12. And many people, let's get back to this just for a minute. You even look in Scofield and different ones, it says AD 33. But if you go back in your history, and we proved it several years ago, that Jesus was born around 4 BC because that's when Herod came into power. Then you got to take your 2 years. Remember he said all the kids 2 years and younger, kill them all? Because he was born somewhere around then 4 BC. So 4 BC to AD 30, that'd make him 33 years old. You said there's no way. You don't have a zero year. It goes 4, 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 to 30. There's not a zero year when he went from BC to AD. Everybody got that? So he was 33 years old. We know that. But he was crucified in the year AD 30. And even Brother Branham in the seal book refers back to Matthew 24 and says it happened on these dates in AD 30. He said they asked him, this was how specific. How do you know that? He was a prophet. He said they asked him one question in the morning. Remember? Then they went back and asked him the other two questions in the afternoon. God had to show him that because we weren't there. And it's not in the Bible. So, same way with this March 14th. It was right there in the Bible. We just didn't know. We had to have a prophet come and bring it to us. That March the 14th was the Passover day when he gave him the wine. So, how interesting is that? Number 12. Now, does everybody understand up this far? Those of you that are awake. Now, does everybody understand up to this far? If you don't, then you know what? You got to pray because I can't reveal it to you. I can just show you what's going on, and God's got to reveal it to you. Everybody understand up this far that it's perfectly the truth. It's the Bible. It's the prophetic years. Now we come up and we get them up here to the rejecting the Messiah. See, from to the rejecting of Messiah the last week. He's talking about right here. Because he's come up to the killing of Messiah then the last week. Watch. Now I want to stop right here just a minute and explain this. That when they rejected the Messiah was when they, of course, rejected Jesus as Savior and crucified him. You remember over here when the Bible said, and he shall be cut off, but not for himself, Messiah the Prince. Now think how close that prophecy hit. I just showed you how close it hit. I want to get this drilled into you that if that prophecy hit exactly to the date, exactly to the time, and exactly the way it said it would, these other seven, this 1 7 weeks left, he corrects himself, 1 7 years rather, 7 days, 7 years, will hit exactly according to the scripture. What's the last seven he's talking about? The third period that we're fixing to talk about in just a second. Everybody got that? Just reading what he said. Now remember, he was cut off, Messiah, Jews, God ceased to deal with them. They did not go any further. Then they were scattered by the Roman Empire. And have you noticed on my chart here, I want you to get this now and draw it. You noticed here where I got the cross. He's got it right here. Now what he did was, in your drawing that he's got, he extended this out just a little bit and put AD 70. Because that's very important. Because remember, what happened in AD 70? Some of you have been over there. Dad's been over there. Russ has been over there about four times. He knows that wall is almost obliterated. There is no tabernacle. There is hardly anything over there that was original when Jesus was walking on the earth. Because remember, he told him, he said this. He said, of course, he was talking about his own temple when he said, destroy it and I'll raise it up in 3 days. But they literally destroyed the temple back in AD 70. So watch what Brother Brown says here. I want you to get this now and draw it. You notice here where I got the cross. That's where they rejected. But the time extended out just a little bit further on that. See, why? 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. 40 years later. Now see, he proves it again that Jesus was killed in AD 30 because he said 40 years later is AD 70. Got it? AD 70, Titus, the Roman general, destroyed Israel, Jerusalem, and scattered the people to all the world. Now what, they scattered. Now what's happening over here? When we bring that last prophet over here, what are they doing? They're coming back together. Christ comes on the scene. He takes a rapture. He goes up, comes back down in the form of the Holy Ghost, comes down here. Titus destroys the literal temple. Then God's building his other temple. The Gentiles. He's building the temple right here. Not the wood and the bone. I mean the woods and the stone. The bone. And the flesh and all that. Yep. He's building it right here. So he sends a prophet in the end of this thing to what? Introduce the same Christ that was over here. Preach the same 3.5 year message that was over here. To us, as what we were talking about the other day, from Spoken Word's original seed, Brother Russ has been taking 1,260 days and going back from Brother Brandon when he had the accident back to Grass Valley, California, where he preaches Jehovah Jireh series, and from that all the way up through Spoken Word's original seed, Statue of Perfect Man, all those things were building up. In the 12, we got a message of 3.5 years. Brother Brown said it's the same exact message that Christ preached over here. Now, look, that same exact is what I seen yesterday. That same exact message from about right here to right here was not preached the same way. Does that mean you don't know what I'm talking about? The furrow between the eyes? Father, Son, Holy Ghost wasn't the original. No, eternal hell. They brought all that in right here. That's not original. God had to come back and bring a prophet like he did at first to bring it back to the original. So we got the original. Jesus never preached that he was the second person of a Trinity. He never preached that you had to baptize in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He didn't preach there was an eternal hell. What? So the same 1260 days he preached right here, he preaches right here and right here. Very consistent all the way through. Because Christ, what? Christ came back, what? Holy Ghost brought the original word, first couple of ages, and then 325 A.D., about the end of Martin's, what? It starts going down. Horrible doctrine. Brother Brown says loose ends. Well, what do loose ends have to be done? They had to be tied back up in a 3.5-year message, starting, as Brother Dale says, started in the 30s, 40s, 50s, then you come up to the 60s, and Brother Branham in Spoken Words, Real Seed said, as of yet, Malachi 4 has not been fulfilled. So there's the 1260 days to restore us back to the faith of the fathers. And then bring his message. And then bring his message of this revelation. That's what struck me yesterday. I thought, thank you, Lord. It's just a pattern that it's so simple that anybody ought to be able to understand that. It's the continuity. Brother Brown said the continuity of the message. And I believe it's the continuity of the Bible. There has to be continuity in this message of the hour. So there's your 1260 days or 3.5 years of preaching. Paul preaching, then everything fell across. Here comes back that 3.5 years to restore it back. Then you got 3.5 years, 1260 days preached to the two witnesses to bring 144,000 to a rapture. What a mighty God we serve. Would you say that, Sister Johnny? Say it again. Say it, Sister Johnny. Say it. I want Sister Johnny to say it. Your name's not Sister Johnny. I love that. Amen. Every time you see her and you say something to her, she says, what a mighty God we serve. Amen. She's lost a lot of that New York accent, thank goodness. We can understand her now. I want you to get it. It took. Now watch. Let's get back to our thought. Here we are. Titus, the Roman general, destroyed Israel and scattered the people to all the world. Titus, 40 years later, so actually the Jewish time extended until, now look, God wasn't dealing with them. He quit dealing with them at Calvary, with the Jews as a nation. He's not going to deal with the Jews as a nation until right here. But he was dealing because remember, the 120 in the upper room were all Jews. So they did start with a Jewish root, but it went and turned to the Gentiles. Everybody got that? Say amen. So Brother Brown's not wrong. He's telling it exactly the right thing. God wasn't dealing with them. He only dealt with them until they rejected Christ. Then when they crucified Christ, they said, let his blood be on us and our children. It has been ever since. But before they got scattered, oh brother, before they got all scattered to the world, it took God 40 years to tear the temple up. But what's it been taking? Watch him right here. It's taken 40 years to tear up the temple and scatter them to all the world. But God failed to deal with them anymore. God failed to deal with them anymore. He went dealing with the Gentiles. You know that. Understand it now. Now we start in the church ages, the Gentile time. Well, in another quote, he says God's been spending almost that much time bringing them back into the homeland. All right. So let's read this one real quick. Let's get to the very last one. That's the 69 weeks. Or 483 years to A.D. 30, April the 6th, A.D. 30, when Christ was cut off. He started dealing with the Gentiles. Now, there's got to be, though, 490 years to finish redemption, right? To finish the people and the city.
Right.
All right? You've only got 483 years. You've got a city or a tabernacle laid in waste. Even the wall's not hardly there now. But what's going to happen right here? They're going to try to build it right here and start temple worship. That's why it says the sacrifice and oblation will cease. But that's not the one that to finish Daniel 70 weeks. They got to build a temple that me and you walk into. So you can't finish it right here or right here. It's got to finish right here. So there's what? We've got 483 years. We got to find 490. That leaves what? 7 years. Are 1 week is 7 years. There's 7 years left. Now listen to what I'm saying. Real quick, I'm going to read these quotes and we'll be done. There's 1 week left of time.
Right.
Listen to me. There's 1 week left of time to finish Daniel 70 weeks. I proved it by the Bible.
Right.
Now there's only 1260 days of the ministry of two prophets left. But that's not to finish Daniel 70 weeks. That's inside of Daniel 70 weeks. Everybody got that?
Amen.
Because the Bible says there's 1 week left. This guy, this man, this Antichrist, when we leave, he's going to strike up an agreement for what? 7 years. That's what the Bible says. He shall confirm the covenant with many for what? 1 week. 1 week equals 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he's going to walk into that temple they've built, and he's going to say, I'm God. This is the one you've been looking for right here. And they're going to get so mad, because that's going to be a Gentile walking inside their temple. And that's a no-no. And they're going to get so mad, then guess what's going to happen? He's going to get mad. He's going to kill two prophets. He's going to kill the 144,000. And then what's going to happen? They're going to take a rapture. So that what? The Battle of Armageddon can begin. And to finish the 70th week, you got bringing everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy. That's got to happen right in here. They got to build that millennial temple. You say, how? It's not to us. It doesn't matter. There is time left, though, because they got to come back down here and build it. So that we, in Revelation 19:21, can ride into the millennium and go into that temple. So it's got to already be built. Now watch. Let's read these three quotes and we'll be finished. 70th week of Daniel, number 13, then we'll be done. Then we'll take communion. Now we find out that down through these ages, we had the Holy Spirit come in, and then God, back in the beginning, began to tell them at the rejection of Christ. Where's that? Right here. God showed John exactly what would take place during the Gentile reign. It's what? John the Revelator. Revelations 1, 2, and 3. All right? Now, you haven't got any limited time like the Jews.
Right.
But we got a sign. We got a signpost. Well, God did with the Jews just exactly what he said he would do in them 69 years, or 400, he meant 69 weeks, or 483 years. So I just showed you he exactly done the right thing. He edict on 445 B.C. to right here. Now remember, that's only 475 years of 365 and a quarter. But if you put it and make it 360 days, it comes out exactly to 483 years. I've not got time to do that. It's just, that's figures. But we got a sign. What he said he would do in them 69 years, or 483 years, but 69 weeks. And 1 week left. 1 week's yet determined. I don't know where people can't understand that. 1 week, according to the Bible, is yet determined. Now, we cannot apply it in here. Now, look, he tells them we can't apply it in here. Now, look, where's the Gentile part of this whole picture? Where's the Gentiles? Right here. Right here. He says we cannot apply it in here. See, that's what the people of the message do. They say there's only 3.5 years left. This is not a part of it. And that 3.5 years is stuck over here somewhere in this first church age or back over in that way. It can't happen. According to the Bible, according to the prophet's message, and you can't stick the Jews and the Gentiles together. You can't do that. Brother Brown tells us over and over again, you can't deal with the Jews. He doesn't deal with the Jews and the Gentiles at the same time. Either we got to be out of the way or they've got to be out of the way. All right. Now, number 14 on the 70th week. Now, my Pentecostal brethren. Now, my Jehovah Witness brethren. Do you realize? Do you know where the 144,000 appear? Do you know where all the great miracles of Revelation appear? Over in the Jewish age, not in ours. Now, are they going to appear over here? Are they going to appear here? I'm reading the quote. Over in the Jewish age, not in ours. There's nothing recorded in it, just the church getting ready and going out. Sure, with the power of God, we can work miracles and exploits. We know that. But the real thing was over here to the Jews. I mean, the real working power, miracle working. Because remember, them two prophets, they're going to do whatever they want to do. Now look, the 144,000 don't appear there. I believe they're over there. I believe they're over there now. This is so close. They can't be babies. And they could be older people, but they've got to be over there somewhere. Right now. Waiting on us to take a rapture. And then God's going to go straight to them. What a mighty God we serve. The 144,000 don't appear there. They're over. They appear not in the third chapter, What's the third chapter of Revelation? The church ages. They're on over in the scripture further. Revelation 11. And now we see that all this stuff was to take place was over in this time of the 70th week. The last week. Now if they've already had 69 weeks and lived it exactly the way God said they did, and it happened exactly the way God said it would do, then there's one more week promised to the Jews. How much more plain can you be? Number 15, and then we'll close. He keeps talking. Something in Pentecost must have got him, because now he's saying the same thing again. Now Pentecostal brethren, how can you apply it all over in the Laodicean age? You can't. That's still Gentiles. They're sleeping through every one of these ages, look, waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God, what Brother Dale read in Hebrews 11. They're waiting on us. This whole seven church ages are waiting on us to come to a place. And we which are alive, the little remaining bunch over here, alive, some of you may be asleep, but alive, breathing, there you go, maybe. Luis, you don't have to interpret all that, okay? The brother's smiling back here, so he understands what. He said, I'm not. Just have to cut little things out like that. Remain alive until the coming of the Lord will not hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we shall be caught up together with them, amen, with them. Here we are meeting right here. Now look on your chart. He's got a rapture taking place right here. All this going up. All right? So he's still on his chart. To go to meet the Lord in the air, amen. And there you are. Where are we at? Here it is right here. Where are we at? They wouldn't say that in Minnesota. Where are we at? Where are we at? Right here. Where did the Messiah get cut off? Exactly where the word said. Where will that 70th week begin? Exactly after this church is cut off. Right here. That's me and you. Then God returns to the Jews to fulfill that last week. Don't you remember, as soon as the church goes and the Jews take hold, come in. But first, the next thing in order is not a mighty nation on a national revival amongst the Gentiles. The next thing in order is the coming of the kingdom of God, the coming of Christ. And that's what we're looking for right now. That's what you and I are looking for. But don't let anybody fool you. To fulfill, listen to me one more time. Everybody get ready to take communion. Put that in the study so we'll have time. You want to do it or you want me to do it? To fulfill all of Daniel's 70 weeks, to fulfill 490 years that God has promised to deal with the Jews, to take them out, take them up, and to build the temple. There's 1 week left to fulfill that. There is not 3.5 years left. Yes, there is 3.5 years left of the 1260 days for the Jews to be saved. Everybody got that? There is not 7 years of tribulation. I want you to understand that. We're not preaching 7 years tribulation. There's only 3.5 years of tribulation, but that has nothing to do with Daniel 70 weeks. Daniel 70 weeks is 490 years, period. We've already lived 483 of them, was back at Christ and back further. No, what's left is one more week. I'm not saying there's 7 years left of tribulation. I'm not saying there's 7 years of Jesus' ministry left. There's only 1260 days of Jesus' ministry, but to finish Daniel 70 weeks, there has to be 1 week left after the rapture of the church. Has to be. According to the Bible, and according to the prophet's message. Now, what I'll do the next time I speak, I'm going to bring you those quotes that you think, or some of you think, is contrary to everything I preach. But you think Brother Branham was that confused? Do you really? You better not. Then you've made him a false prophet, just like the people that leave the message. You've got the same spirit they do. You just ain't got enough sense to leave. I mean, really. If you think Brother Branham was wrong, you need to go find something else. I need to go find something else, but I know he ain't wrong, Brother Darty. I know he's not. What a mighty God we serve. I know he's not wrong. No way was he wrong. You say, oh no, he looks like he contradicted. He did not contradict himself. He said exactly what he meant and meant what he said. But he cannot, one more time, let's stand to our feet. And whoever's doing the communion, come on. There's 1 week left after the rapture of the church according to the Bible and according to the prophet's message. Amen. I don't need anybody else's commentary. Even you look back at the chart that Clarence Larkin drew. It's exactly that same chart that Brother Branham drew. Now you say, well, Clarence Larkin was this and that and the other. You know what? Do you believe Dwight Moody was a fake? You believe Dwight Moody was a child of God? Brother Branham said he sent millions to heaven. Oh, he had to have some kind of ministry, but he was a Trinitarian. He believed in an eternal hell. There was a lot of different things, doctrines he believed. But like the point I'm making, Clarence Larkin drew the same chart. Brother Branham could have looked at it and that was fine. But Brother Branham needed a revelation that went beyond Clarence Larkin. Clarence Larkin may have been a good preacher. He may have been a good teacher. But he wasn't the prophet to take the loose ends and straighten the loose ends out. Now that's the one I want to hear. And that's good to hear these other people. But it's wonderful to hear the man that took the loose ends and put them all back together again. So don't tell me Brother Branham was wrong. If he was wrong, he corrected it, right? I've never heard him correct Daniel 70 weeks. I've never heard him say the chart was wrong. I've never heard him say that what I preached was wrong. So let's just leave it at that. All right? God bless you. Let's go right into communion. If you want to be prayed for, it's when them brothers hand you the communion bread and the wine. We've seen people healed by taking communion. Why? You're believing that you're not communing with those. You're not communing with me. You're communing with God.
Right.
All right? You're not communing with a human being. You're communicating with God or communing with God when you're taking the communion.
Right.
You ought to just forget all the other things. Like I told the kids yesterday, forget all the... If your friend don't raise his hand, don't have a complex that you're not going to raise yours. If you got that feeling, you raise your hand.
Right.
If you have a unction from God, do it.
Amen?
Amen? Here we go in 1 Corinthians. See, it took a prophet. This right here proves my point. It took a prophet in the first church age to straighten up everything and get everything right because Paul was not in the upper room. When this was instituted in AD 59, Paul wasn't even a convert of Christ. He was actually the one they feared. Because they had the door locks, because they were persecuting the Christians. Paul was. But then you say, well, like Brother Dale says, Peter, James, John, they were all in this upper room, but not one of them spoke of the communion to institute it. Watch this, sir. He says, for I have received of the Lord. Paul got it straight from God, just like Brother Branham got it straight from God. There was nobody in between. If you think you can correct Brother Branham, you have inserted yourself in between God and a prophet. And usually that might make you an antichrist. Okay? Because you can't have two over here and one over here. It's got to be God and you. All right? Let's read the scripture. God bless you. Thank you for taking time. And I know some of it's just dates and times and different things, but to me, I saw the continuity of what God was doing. Continuity all the way through, and then we had a man stand in this end time that told us the whole plan. The whole thing. What a privileged people we are. What a mighty God we do serve. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, but I love when she says that. It just makes chills go on my spine, because what a mighty God we do serve. I wouldn't want to serve another one. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. In other words, he received it from the Lord, and he's fixing to tell us in 1 Corinthians, he's fixing to tell us what happened in the upper room, that he wasn't even there. God showed him a vision of what went on, and then give him a revelation of when Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood.
Right.
All right. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. This would be, I would say this is going to be Thursday afternoon. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.